You're listening to 101.5 FM on UMFM. I'm your host, Ryan Funk, here with you on UTalk. I hope everything has been going well. The New Year's, 2023, what an exciting time. I know when you're looking at the news, sometimes things are a little bit rough. But you know what? That's why there's organizations and individuals that come together to make a difference. And one of those groups is called Peg City Kindness Crew. So we're going to hear a little bit from them about what they did over the winter holidays. And we'll also hear some great tunes along the way.
I'm Jay Malowski. I'm one of the co-founders at Peg City Kindness Crew. We're just in the middle of our hamper season. Well, just finishing up our hamper season this year. We've been around for since 2020, I would say mid-2020, in the middle of a pandemic when I realized that everybody was kind of going through it.
And that was a great conversation we had last time, just talking about things. Now I dropped that little bit of the bomb. It's like, how would you solve all the problems? This time I won't drop anything crazy like that on you. Hamper season, how is that going? I know looking on social media, you were looking for drivers the other day. So obviously there's a lot of hampers to deliver.
Yeah, so there are 180 coming from our organization directly. And then we also had families offer to sponsor some as well. So I think we were at about, I think we hit about 190 total. We're pretty much set and done. It was a bit of a frantic scramble in the end. It always is. The last day or two, we're always like, oh no, we don't have enough milk. Oh no, we don't have enough eggs. Oh my God, we need these things to make this happen for Christmas, for people, or for the holidays, for people, any of that. But we got it done. We had some of our volunteers just not be able to make it that day. And so we stressed about deliveries, and some people came through the following day. And so we've been able to get them all out at this point.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you were able to get things all figured out, because, you know, it could be a challenge. And just talking before about the number of hampers just that the Christmas cheer board has had to do, it's a rough season for people right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. I know that, like, the Christmas cheer board had thousands of requests, and I can't even imagine trying to process that number of things. But we knew right from the beginning, when they had 13,000 requests in the first 2 weeks, that our year was going to be a lot bigger than we had anticipated originally. We were like, okay, 150 is a good number to do. We can do that. We've managed it every year. We can keep going with that. 200 is a goal, but it doesn't sound really realistic. But then we saw the results of, like, them posting stuff, and we were like, oh no, we're in trouble.
Thank you for the diligent effort that you and the rest of the volunteers are doing to try and make a difference here in the Winnipeg community. It's just, it's incredibly sad to know that there are people struggling with food security out there. Sometimes I'm like, oh man, I wish I had more stuff in my savings, and I had some emergency stuff that happened over the past month, but I am fortunate enough to have been able to get through that and still be comfortable, but not everyone is like that. So thank you for volunteering your time and putting out so much time and effort just to help people out.
Yeah, we're happy to do, like, heart work is what we call it, and to help other people when we ourselves have been helped, and that's why it's so close to our hearts, and so we're so passionate about it. It doesn't take start up a conversation with any of our directors, any of our volunteers, and we won't stop talking because we're so involved in it, and we love it so very much. So getting to know people and connecting with people and connecting over food and that sort of thing is all very passionate to all of us. Mm-hmm.
So what is the process like for getting these hampers, connecting with people go? What is kind of the steps for this?
In the beginning, when we're first getting organized and first, like, okay, it's getting ready for hamper season, it's time to sort it out. What we'll do is we will make a questionnaire. And so that questionnaire, there's two ways it can go. You click on either you're sponsoring or you're requiring a hamper. Cool. And then you just follow the steps there. That questionnaire gets spread through social media, word of mouth. It's pretty low barrier. We try to make it as low barrier as possible without like rules about like what kind of funding you have and like what kind of money you're making and that sort of thing. If you're struggling, you're struggling, whether you're making $100,000 a year or $40,000 a year. Struggles all across the board in Winnipeg as we speak, as we know. And so you apply, we go through our list, we have a chart, we match up sponsors who want to sponsor, but then we take on the rest of it. And we work with partners in groceries like No Frills or Freshco. And we work with our partners over at Second Harvest as well, that came through in a huge way this year for us. 1,300 pounds of vegetables and 300 pounds of bread. So like we're doing the best that we can to not only rescue food, but also help provide more food security for people and to have a meal with their families during the holidays.
It can be a struggle to kind of find that balance because there is so much food that is wasted. When you're looking at statistics, it's anywhere between like 60 to 80% of food that's processed ends up going to waste. So I know a lot of people say it's not that there's a lack of food out there, it's a lack of distribution.
I agree entirely with that statement. It's a lack of whether it's priced appropriately for people to be able to get through some of these hard times, right? Which they're not right now in grocery stores or restaurants and that sort of thing. Prices are going up like exponentially. So it's definitely making it a little bit harder. So when we have access to these like bins of fruit or vegetables and things like that, that we can include in our hampers or our emergency hampers or whatever we're working on in that moment, it's definitely a game changer for us.
We're doing Christmas shopping this year and then you see like, oh, this is the last minute kind of sales of the evening and you're looking at the prices and it's like 40% off and you look at it, oh, wait. It says it's 40% off, but it's like way more than the price it was even last year still. And this is supposed to be a sale?
Yeah, it's been hard. For a lot of our hampers, we weren't able to get turkeys. And we went with hams, which isn't ideal because there are families out there that don't necessarily eat pork, right? And we keep it very non-denominational when it comes to our holiday hampers. So, but we do our best and some got like chicken thighs and legs and things like that, right? Like it was very much slim picking for terms of proteins and trying to get something to folks. So it's not what our traditional hampers look like, but it's really truly the very best we could do.
I think, you know, sitting down together with you, having these conversations, going out, having these hampers, and, you know, when people are volunteering, filling these hampers, it's a place where we can start building community and conversations. And I think that's where things start when we're looking at like the labor movement that happened in Winnipeg years ago. Maybe we're getting to a point where we need to start having these conversations again. I know our corporate or overlords don't necessarily want to hear that, but for individuals who are listening and just out there, you know, have these conversations. Is it fair to you that you should be struggling just to take care of your family or people that maybe their finances means they aren't even trying to have a family because they're scared of what that could mean for their income? Is it fair that people are struggling where corporations are making record profits?
No, exactly. It's conversations with the people around you and your community members and your family and your friends. It's funny because like my family always knows at Christmas or whenever we all get together that I'm coming with these conversations and I'm coming prepared to talk about the hard hitting stuff that's affecting our city and the people here and the people that they don't even know. And like every year when I'm doing this kind of stuff, I'm so blessed and I'm so lucky and I'm so grateful that my family, when I started all of this, they all got involved right from the get-go, whether it was like dropping off donations or like taking in donations for me at like all of their houses, my brother's house, my dad's house, all of them. Like they were like, yeah, I guess you can drop off stuff here. Jay, I've got a pantry full of stuff for you. Can you please come get it? That kind of stuff. Like I'm so lucky. But they also know that when we get together to sit down and have our family meal, that I'll come with the hard questions about the people who are living on the streets, about the food security crisis and that sort of thing. Because we're all lucky and we can make our way and we can make it work for us. And like, but there were times that I couldn't. So, and then my family couldn't. Like, we've all seen struggle and we've all been there. And so that's why it's so important to all of us that we all get involved.
Are you ready? Are you scared? Are you painfully aware that you don't know where you go, but you're on your way? Hope for the best, plan for the worst. Don't forget something that'll quench your thirst. Remember that you weren't always the one who knew what to say.
Rooted deep in our legacy.
and armory. Our warrior tales of victory, rooted deep in our memories. Times before we're traveling, of times to come unraveling, this path of life meandering, before the brink of day, lead us not astray, guide us on our way, before time slips away.
Yes, help me make it. I'm just trying to be the one. They say my mind's a matrix. Times are changing and I'm trying to adapt. But then depression got a hold of me, confined in a trap. So I'm writing these beats and I'm rhyming the facts. This is what I'm good at, so let me shine on the track. Yeah, I'm just trying to relax. But the stress is building up, but I ain't trying to snap, yeah.
I'll be fine if you hold me high. Then I can find my strength. I will shine with the sight of mine. just know I'll never rise. My heart is trying to be the brightest sign. I call out to a creator to show me how it's done. Cause deep inside I'm trying to be strong to bring in the light.
Take a look at what them haters used to laugh at. Now they feeling me, a little flavor made by Mad Mag. Just wanna make some paper, I've never had that.
I'll need a vibe, must get the prize of a lab rat. Clap, clap. Shout out to the gang, cooking heat, tryna make my donuts. The future still looking sweet. This is strictly for the times when I couldn't speak. If life was a curse, that is something that I wouldn't cheat.
I'll be fine if you hold me high, then I can find my strength. I will shine with this light of mine and be happy once again. In the face of darkness, just know I'll never run. To be the brightest sign, I call out to a creator to show me how it's done. Cause deep inside I'm trying to be strong to bring it. I'll be fine if you hold me high, then I can find my strength. Bring it. I will shine with this light of mine and be happy once again.
Far below, underground.
from far below. I remember aspen groves. They were born from far below. I remember aspen groves. They were born from far below. I remember aspen groves. They were born from far.
Building those networks, building that sort of familiarity with your neighbors that we don't really have anymore. It just seems to, in this life that we're living right now, where everything is available, we have technology and things beamed into our brains at all time, it is too easy to kind of fall into this mindset of just staying within your bubble. And we know that when communities kind of stay within those circles, you know, you stop thinking about people beyond that, people outside. And you know what? That's what I'm striving towards, thinking about others out there that are struggling. Even if I wouldn't necessarily benefit from a social or public service, does that mean it has any less value? No, of course not, because it is helping someone else. We just got to move away from the mindset of like, if something doesn't benefit me, then I don't want it. It's the same thing with downing the United States, with the student forgiveness, downing Texas. Two people didn't qualify for everything that they wanted, so they sued, and now they ruined it for everyone.
Oh, that's awful. Sometimes the box just doesn't fit for you, and that's okay. But that doesn't mean that nobody else should be able to have those things or benefit from those things, definitely. People need to, like, just think about taking care of other people and taking care of the people around you. And, like, the way that in harm reduction, the way that a lot of us look at it is that, like, hurt people take care of hurt people. Sex workers take care of sex workers. People who consume anything take care of other people who consume anything, right? It's very, like, just take care of each other and we can get through this. So people just need to stop and take a minute and think about the world around them, the people around them. So let's say specifically, no, you don't consume narcotics or drugs or opioids or whatever, but I guarantee that you know somebody that does. You just don't realize it because you're not a safe person to stop and think about. That's really what it is that people need to stop, think, consider the people that they're hurting or that could use their help, and stop and actually do the help and do the work.
Well, here in Manitoba, the constant struggle to get access to, like, safe injection sites, right? like when we're looking at statistics and the places that are available throughout Canada, it only shows that it helps reduce harm. Just, you know, helping reduce bloodborne diseases from people having access to, like, clean needles. That's a harm reduction, and that's a positive. But it's also, when they're in those safe spaces where there are professionals around, you know, they can start having those conversations of, hey, when you're ready, we can have those talks about getting clean. What are the steps for you? If we don't have those spaces, those interactions aren't going to happen. And if individuals are just looking at someone on the street who maybe is an addict and they come from a very judgmental point, those people are never going to get help because there's going to be always a barrier then.
There's always that stigma. There's always that negative outlook around, like, the negative connotations around the words, like, addict and to get clean and that sort of thing, right? Like, oh, okay, I myself am in recovery and have been not using for, like, it's going to be 5 years, honestly. 5 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. In the summer, but, like, yeah, so, but, like, a lot, like, you hear the word addict and you immediately feel like you're less and that sort of stuff, right? So, like, it's changing the way that people talk about these things to the people that they love. that's where it really starts. And so when you start having open conversations without any judgment and without any negative casting towards those people, then that's when our world starts changing.
When you're in those places, when you're helping people, you can then also start talking
contact
about the systems in place that led someone to get there.
Love to have you on the show.
Zero access to mental health services, or they were low income, and that can lead to like seek out ways of escapism if you're in low income. You're gonna find ways to pay for drugs, whether that's stealing or sex work and things, and the systems that are in place right now do not protect individuals that are deemed the lowest of society. But if we fix those up, I feel like they would have to. And not to say there's anything wrong, I'm the kind of person that believes that all sort of narcotics and stuff should be decriminalized, because why are we sending people with addictions to jail where it's not going to solve anything? Or sex workers. I am strongly in the place that sex work is work. Yeah, we just got to change society for the better.
Like we just,
right?
We need to take care of each other. That's really it, is that everyone needs to take care of each other. Consider somebody else's point of view without somebody. That's it. That's all.
We're Peg City Kindness Crew and helping out.
Yeah, we try our best to not, like when somebody comes to us with a scenario or says that they need help and then tells us their story, because quite often a lot of the people who need help come with their story and come prepared to tell a story, but we don't ask that of them. We don't expect that of them. That's not a fair expectation. I don't like, if you want to share your story with me and you feel that I'm safe to do that, I am touched and honored that you feel safe to do that. But I'm never going to be like, you need to justify why you say that you need food. That's not who we are. We try really, really hard to meet people where they're at without judgment, without any like casting, without anything like that. And I find that like all of our directors and all of our board and all of our volunteers are really good about it. And if they're not, then we take that time to teach them how to maybe change their perspective.
Things gone over this this past year, and kind of what are you looking towards, or what are some of the plans heading towards 2023? That's kind of like a mind.
Right.
the past 3 years have kind of felt like just a repeat of the last. It's like, oh, it's 2020, take two. 2020 now, take three.
Exactly. Yeah. It feels like nothing's moved and nothing's changed. And so like, truly, I can't believe that we've been doing this for almost 3 years. I think I was talking to somebody last week and they were like, well, you've been going since 2020, Jay, like since like May of 2020 or April of 2020. I was like, no, have I? Right. And so I was like, oh, okay. Yes, we have. That's right. My bad. And they were like, how did you forget? I'm like, because it feels like nothing has changed. but so this past year was, it was a tough year, right? Like as everybody struggled financially, so did we, of course. We did manage to get incorporated for the first time. And that's so exciting for us because that opens us up to more funding opportunities, partnerships. We carry more of a reliability with us now, as opposed to a bunch of people being like, hey, we just want to give out food and do good things. Now we have like a brand about us, I would say. So that's,
and merch, you got merch now.
Yeah. One of our volunteers made these for us. And so we're pretty excited about, like, we're going to have, I think 20 to have like give away and sell. So all of our volunteers are going to get one. I should say all of our reoccurring volunteers are going to get one, because we have just people that pop in and out, which is great and super helpful, but we don't have enough hats to go around for that. and so, yeah, one of our volunteers made us, like me and Deanna, one of these each, and we were just thrilled. But anyways, so it's been a tough year. We've been pushing really hard to get more sponsors and that sort of thing. And it feels like it's not going the way that we would like. And we haven't quite blown up into the corporate world, which feels gross to say, the way that we've hoped, because more corporate sponsors means more money, means more people we can help. Which is really, that's our end goal. Is
got to utilize the system that is currently in place, right?
We're starting to look at grants, and we're starting to sit down with those. And we have a newer board member who has a lot of experience with grants and that sort of thing in those systems. So they're going to be super helpful for us going forward. And so that's been a bit of a challenge for us to switch over from like just begging our neighbors for food and money to start looking into bigger, broad scale things so we can make differences. This year we did start our Fresh Start program, which has been a bit of a change for us because it's different. It's when people get into their new house or their new home, let's say, or their new home, and we can help them get furniture and things that they need, whether that's like kitchen appliances or whatever.
Well, I definitely know about moving into a new place for the first time, and then you're like, there's so much that I need.
Yeah, like, and people have, like, we've had people, we had a family come from the Ukraine that we were able to help and kind of change the game for. We got them a bed and a couch and, like, a toaster and, like, all sorts of stuff. We furnished, I think, total 4 different families' homes, like, fully, pretty much. So that was kind of a cool experience to go through and start to figure out. So we're going to probably develop that a little bit more and see how we can help, see if we can build some partnerships in to help us with that as opposed to begging for things again. And then this year, I really want to push on more of a traditional harm reduction kind of an outlook, right? I want to help people start getting a look into how you can actually help people who are going through problematic substance use, through supporting people on the streets, what you can do to how you can get your hands on Narcan, how everyone should have Narcan on them all of the time, and where you get those things, how you get those lessons. And I want to help my volunteers know that and understand that as well. So I really want to develop more of a harm reduction sort of a program, I would say. That's been kind of my goal since the beginning, is to see that. I want to see if we can get more partners to take care of emergency hampers and work with us on that. Because it's been kind of touch and go where we've had food. When people have asked, we can help them. When we have absolutely nothing in the bank and no food, well, sorry, there's not much we can do. Here's a list of people that can help you, right?
And that hurts in those moments when you feel you can't help someone.
Yeah, it literally breaks my heart. It's the hardest thing to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I have nothing. There's been points where I'm like, oh, I have a couple extra bucks. I'll send you some money, or I'll send you some groceries directly. Like, whatever you need, you tell me, and I'll do what I can. But when I have nothing, there's actually nothing I can do, and that kills me.
Yeah, and then it's the struggle, because you also have to look after yourself as a human being at the same time. If you give too much of yourself, and like, then you burn out or you run out of resources to care for yourself, and then you can't help at all.
That's exactly it. And my friends and family often have to be like, Jay, maybe you should check yourself. You're running close to burnout, right? They'll stop me and they'll be like, maybe you need a second. Maybe you just need to turn off everything for a minute. And I'm like, no, it's fine. And they're like, No, it's not fine. We know your warning signs. Thanks. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Somebody checked me. All right. I'll sit down.
But yeah, I've had to come to terms with understanding when I've reached those kind of manic parts in your life where there's just so much going on, and there's just a cycle where a bad thing happens, you don't process it properly, you react to it, and it makes something even worse. And it just goes and goes and goes to get to the point where they're like, what happened? I can't deal with it anymore.
That's exactly it. Like, my friends and family, I have such a really amazing support network for myself that, like, they know my triggers, they know my signs of burnout, and they know what my spin out looks like. Because I'll hit this one corner, and then it hits so fast, and they're like, nope, let's grab her before she hits the bottom, please. Right? So I'm quite lucky, and honestly very, I feel very, like, supported in the work that I do.
These conversations is incredibly important, and getting exposure for Peg City Kindness Crew. But, you know, we need to go beyond just talking about things. What are some things of people here in Winnipeg can do to help you out, to help those that are struggling.
Yeah, huge ways that you can help folks, or help us to help folks, are check out our volunteer page, sign up for that on our Facebook, Peg City Kindness Crew Volunteers. You can obviously donate money, time, in-kind donations, items, food, that sort of thing, really any of it. Yeah, just volunteer, help out with that sort of stuff. If you want to take out some food and hand it out on the streets one day, but you are like scared to do it alone and that sort of thing, you can always come with us. You can always make us and like become part of our team, our community, our friendships, our family, really is what it comes down to. People are always welcome to get involved with us. We'll always accept your help.
You tell your friends and they tell their friends.
Exactly.
And the more we get involved, we can start making some actual positive changes, because the way news is currently going on just worldwide, it's,
yeah,
we need some positivity.
definitely exactly that. Yeah, it's exciting as we grow, the people that we meet and the friends that we make and the families that we gain is so natural and beautiful, and we're really excited to do that into 2023.
Can people go? You mentioned a volunteer page, but where can people go to find out more about Peg City Kindness Crew?
Yeah, our Facebook is Peg City Kindness Crew Inc. Our Instagram is Peg City Kindness Crew. You can email us at pegcitykindnesscrew@gmail.com. Honestly, if you Google us, you'll find us.
Make sure you tune in to 101.5 FM every Tuesday at 1 for more stories on U-Talk. Or if you want more content, head to u-channel.ca.
who slipped in through the back door when you were not alone? Who slipped in to your consciousness and sunk you like a stone? Who slipped in to the stables of your frantic hippodrome? Who slipped in to the station and bought your ticket home? Who slipped in to your mouth to craft that Ryan flippant tone? Who slipped in to the castle and set you on the throne? Who slipped in with a butter knife and cut you to the bone? Who slipped in past all 5-point guards with documents unknown? Who slipped in? Who slipped in? As through the cracks in your soul blows the wind. Who slipped in? Oh, who slipped in? Like your conscience in the shadows of your sin. Who slipped in to the debtor's prison with credit not alone? Who slipped in to your sacred hall and told you to postpone? Who slipped in to your garden bed unkept and overgrown? Who slipped in to the shade of your trusted cicerone? Look in the mirror, look in the mirror, my love. Tell me what you see. Are you baffled by the true disguise of ambiguity? And when I look in the mirror, my love, I tell you what I see. All the same parts of you I scorn reflecting back in me. And who slipped in?
Thank you. Never judge, never judge.